Welcome to the Kingdom Culture Church podcast. We hope you enjoy this spirit-filled message, that it blesses your week and brings you joy and perspective. To connect with us, hop on social media, and for more information, head to kingdomculturechurch.com.au.
You're just going to be so blessed. So open up your hearts. Open up your hearts.
Going to keep the band up for a minute. Is that okay? You guys can sit down. That's okay. They can keep working. Don't you reckon? Make them keep working. You guys are really good. Your music, your worship is outstanding. Seriously, you need to know. Your church is actually outstanding. I've really fallen in love with KCC. My heart has fallen in love with KCC. So it's going to be a little bit, I'll be happy to see my boys, but it's going to be hard to leave. I just like this supernatural thing just happened in my heart toward this church this weekend, and I've really fallen in love with you guys and your pastors, and I just think Rob and Heather are amazing. Who would concur? I sang to Fred, and I also think Fred and Anna are incredible, and just very, like, Fred, you are so lovable, can I just say? Like, you're, yeah, like, I'm, that's the best word. It's just very, very easy to love, very, very endearing, and a great, evidently a really big gift of God on his life and so forth. But I just want to do one thing before I get into the word, right? If you are over 35, honesty now, can you stand up for me? I know some people are sitting. I am not buying into that. My spirit is young. I want to pray for you. And the reason I want to pray for you, and I'm going to pray for a lot of people tonight, and I do believe God's going to move. And I'll bring a word, but I just, more than that, the word's just the entree, really, isn't it? The main course is God touching your life. And I just wanted to pray for the people that are over 35 in the room, because I just really sense that God has brought you here to really undergird and strengthen this church. And I believe that this church is very, very young, and it's actually unique, and I love being in it. I love young adults and young people, and I think they're incredible. But every church needs mums and dads. Every church needs strength and wisdom. Every church needs people that have walked with God for a long time. Every church needs people in it that may have come to know the Lord in their 30s, but they've had some life lessons. And so I want to pray for you. I particularly want to encourage you, Kimmy. You are just incredible. And the sense that I got over you was, at Jesus's birth, you know, there's all these prophecies and words going over him, and the wise men are bringing gifts and all this sort of thing, you know. But it says, and Mary treasured these things up in her heart. And I feel like you've watched the church of God over the generations, and you've seen people's lives, and you've heard promises from God, and you've done a lot of treasuring up in your heart. And I just really see for you that there is going to be even new chapters in your life where there's promises fulfilled, and even promises that you've held on to for decades. God is going to fulfill promises to you. And Kimmy, you need to know you are a great asset to this church. You are a pillar in this church. You are, seriously, you're one of those people that, like, every senior pastor wants in their world. You know, you are just strength and life. And thank you. I just sense the thank you of God over you. You know, thank you for sowing. Thank you for loving. You're fantastic. And Craig and Trish, have I got your name right? Yeah, okay. I'm thinking, I walked away from lunch and I'm like, oh my goodness, I just called her Trish. I really hope that was her name. You guys are wonderful, and you really, I feel like you love the Spirit of God and love the things of the prophetic. And Craig's told me that it's not prophetic, me saying that, it's just literally, we've had conversations and stuff. But you're also very real people, and you've got your feet on the ground, and I just see you really showing a younger generation how to walk with God, how to love the things of God, but how to keep your feet on the ground, and how to walk, and how to disciple and be a disciple of Jesus Christ, and appreciate and love the things of the Spirit, the prophetic revival, but to be a disciple and to go the long haul, because you've gone the long haul. I think you've got a lot of wisdom in you, Trish. I think you've got deep wells of wisdom. There's deep wells of wisdom, and I see you pouring out that and drawing from, you know, it says the wise man draws from his treasure pot. You know, ancient wisdom, new wisdom, old wisdom. I can just see problems coming your way, not bad ones, you know, like, you know what I'm saying? And you're just going, oh yeah, look, this bit of wisdom will fit that. This will fit that. This will fit that. And I just think that's going to be a great blessing. For your senior pastors, you know, if you are in departments here, youth and young adults, and you've got a cranking youth and young adult ministry, guys, like, I just want to honour the work that God is doing in this church. Never, ever look down on what God's doing in this church. But the reason why, and sometimes, certainly not your youth and young adult pastors, but some youth and young adult pastors miss the fact that you get to do this because you've got mum and dad, senior pastor, which is ironic. I love it how Fred calls them Pastor Dad. I love that. It's so cool. But you get to do that stuff because mum and dad know how to build the house. They know how to put the beams up. They know how to put a roof over your head that's strong and safe so you can go completely nuts and you think you've built this thing and it's awesome. But really, mum and dad have undergirded you and put pillars up and they are keeping you safe and they are building kind of like city walls, you know, so that, you know, things can grow and flourish, and so we need to honour them. They are builders in God, and they have they've got a bigness in God, and they're releasing people, and we need to honour them. So I'm going to pray for them, pray for everyone over 30 here, or 35, I can't remember, you know what the age cutoff was. I'm just going to pray for you, right? God, I just thank you, God, for Pastor Rob and Pastor Heather, God. They are builders in you, God, and look, God, they've been like Nehemiah, Father God. They've been on the wall, Father God, and there's been times, Lord, where destruction have come and people have tried to pull them off the wall and pull them this way and that, but they've said, no, I'm not coming down from this wall. I have a good work to do in God. And Lord, I pray, Lord God, the blessing of God over them, Father. Lord God, I just pray that they would see the fruit of their labor, Lord God, multiplied 1,000 times over, God. I speak personal blessing over them, Father God, over their family, Father God. I speak generations blessed, God, because of the decisions they've made in you. I speak financial blessing over them, God. Unexpected financial blessing, God, over them. God, gifts, unexpected things happen to them, God, to bless them financially, Father God. I just thank you, God, for all they've been to this church, God. Lord, they really have been Nehemiah, God, and I pray, Lord God, honor where honor is due over them, Lord God. Lord, I just thank you, God, that you would elevate them in the eyes continually, God, of their church, that people would realize what they have in their midst in this great couple, God. And Lord, over everyone here, God, that is a mum and a dad in the house, God, that has walked with you for a long time, God, or just by virtue of age, God, they have the lessons of life, Lord God. I just declare blessing. I pray that they would take on the mantle, Father God, that they would undergird, that they would strengthen, God. Lord, that they would be, Lord God, blinkered for the vision, that they would tether themselves, Lord God, to this house, to the vision, to you, Lord. And Lord, that would be a strengthening factor, God. They wouldn't try and pull it this way and that, God. But Lord, they would be yoked, God. They would run hard, God. And Lord God, you would renew their youth. For those that feel weary, God, Lord, that you would renew their youth. Renew their youth, God. Renew their youth. Renew their youth, Jesus. I just thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Is it Gwen? Yeah. I just see there's a special significance about your life in the eyes of God. There's a real significance, and I just see God places great value on you, Gwen. There's a highlighter pen over you. There's, you know, like just special significance in the heart of God, and God cherishes you, and your gift to the kingdom is significant. That's all I'm going to say. Is that okay? Okay, grab a seat, guys. Thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you that you're moving in this church. I have fallen in love with this church. But my husband was describing to my children, thank you, Ben, you're right to go. You're so amazing, though. I could keep you up here all night. You're welcome to go, though. That's okay. I will get you up very shortly. I try not to preach too long tonight. And I can see the time. Yeah, no. It's been taken off, so that's okay. It's Pastor Rob's obviously telling me I can go all night. So we came up here late last year, and we stayed in Bribie Island but took a trip down to Whitewater World, and there's a place called Wiggles Bay there. Parents may know it. My boys fell in love with it and ask a lot to go back to Wiggles Bay, like it's just a car ride away or something. And so Andrew, my husband, described to my boys that I'm near Wiggles Bay. I'm staying at Wiggles Bay pretty much. And so Ollie gets on the phone and he goes, he could see me. I was just having a nana, sort of a rest, not a sleep, on the bed. And he goes, "Mummy, are you sleeping at Wiggles Bay?" Sure. I know you are in the year or the years of expansion, and I do want to read this scripture one more time over you. I want to declare it over this church. Matthew 16, verses 15 to 18. "And now I'm going to tell you who you are, really are. You are Peter, a rock. This is the rock on which I'll put together my church, a church so expansive with energy that not even the gates of hell will be able to keep it out." Do you know that God's intention for you is to not just be a small little subculture on the side, but to actually be an expansive, influential voice into our culture, to actually be full of innovation, to actually be a force to be reckoned with in the culture. Isn't that amazing? And that always was Jesus' design. And you know, he has a history of expanding people to fulfill that purpose. And I love that that was actually spoken to Peter. It makes me feel better about myself, to tell you the truth. And he likes to expand us. So for example, he likes to show Peter, and he likes to do the same for us, our true identity. He likes to dismantle beliefs that we have about ourselves that are just untrue. And he likes to expand us by showing you, you know what, you think you're this, but let me show you who you are, who you really are. I love that he loves to craft our inward life to carry the calling of God, to carry something of God to a lost and broken world, just like he did for Mary, because in those 9 months, it wasn't just Jesus that grew in her. She grew with him to actually carry the Son of God to the world. And I just think that was amazing. Maybe he's doing for you what he did for Isaiah, and he's bringing you into the presence of God to actually transform your thinking and your heart attitude and your speech with the fire of God, which I just love. He's transforming us to speak more like him. And can I just say, generosity is one of the key ways, without a word of a lie, that God expands an individual's life. And yes, definitely it is to fund the kingdom. But can I just say, there is an element of generosity in giving that actually is about expanding you, because it actually gets a supernatural flow of the Holy Ghost in your life, because you're giving God material for miracles, and you're actually saying to God, "I trust you." And you know, really, you know, when he says, "Render unto Caesar what is Caesar's," with the face of Caesar on the coin, and he says, "Render unto God what is God," whose face is on you? Whose image are you made in? God's, right? And so he's saying, really, money is just an extension of us. It's not who we are, but it is our substance, and our gift and our generosity really is just a reflection of where we've invested our time and our priorities. And so in one sense, one of the key ways that God expands you is through the act of giving. Isn't that remarkable? Now, I know you're going to think this is funny, but this is why my husband and I absolutely love offerings. And it's not, it's a fairly, like, it wasn't all my life. I had a revelation of giving very early on. I was babysitting at the age of 13, and of the $3, pretty stingy, I know, that I was earning for babysitting those kids, I knew that 30 cents belonged to God, and that over and above what I felt in my heart that God was calling me to give, I would give it and give it freely. And I learnt the discipline early because I knew God would bless it. But my husband and I have literally seen financial miracles, and we've seen ourselves expand around missions offerings, around building giving, around Sunday giving. And I want to encourage you and counsel you before we go much further tonight, don't be scared of an offering. Don't be scared of giving to God. And don't just think, and it is, yes, it is about building his kingdom and about building the church. And literally, it does require resource to build the church, absolutely, 100%, wherever you go in the world. But it is also about expanding you, because if God can flow it through you, he can actually, if he can get it to you, he'll flow it through you, and you will expand in the process. And time again, we've seen God give us seed to sow, and as we've recognized, this is actually not for us. We don't want to eat the seed. We want to sow it and see it bloom and grow. And God, as we've stepped out, has just given us seed to sow. Unexpected things have happened for us simply because of the act of obedience and giving. So tonight I want to talk about something really, really interesting called Supernatural Steps, right? And I believe that God is causing this church to begin to take supernatural steps. You have done some refurbishment and done a brilliant job, and I love the faith vision of this church. There is faith in the heart of KCC who believes it. You are a church full of faith. I can feel it in the atmosphere here. But I believe God is calling you to even greater supernatural steps tonight. So let's get into the word. Matthew 14, verse 22 to 32. As soon as the people were fed, Jesus told his disciples to get in their boat and go to the other side of the lake while he stayed behind to dismiss the people. After the crowds dispersed, Jesus went up to the hills to pray, and as night fell, he was there praying alone with God. But the disciples, who were now in the middle of the lake, ran into trouble, for their boat was tossed about by the high winds and heavy seas. At 4 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came to them, and it's so interesting. 4 o'clock in the morning, you know, it is always in that darkest hour, really, isn't it? That the enemy will come and lie to you, that the waves are high, the storm is insurmountable, and Jesus will meet you at that point of need. And he comes at four and says to them, walking on the waves, when the disciples saw him walking on top of the water, they were terrified. I don't blame them. And screamed, "A ghost! And it's not Casper." The scary kind of ghost. Then Jesus said, "Be brave and don't be afraid. I am here." And this is the bit I want to preach to tonight. Peter shouted out, "Lord, if it's really you, Lord, if it's really you, then have me join you on the water. If it's really you, Lord, have me join you on the water." And he says, "Come and join me," Jesus replied. So Peter stepped out onto the water and began walking toward Jesus. Now we know the rest of the story, but that's not the point. He walked on water. The falling in is not the point, guys. Like, I've fallen down and gotten back up again. The point is, he walked on water. And deep inside, I believe that God has spoken to this church individually and corporately about a season of expansion. And I believe that there's people here asking the question, if it's you, Lord, if you're really in this, ask me to come. And I want to say tonight, he's saying to you, KCC, he's saying to you individuals who call this church your home, would you come with me? Would you come with me into a season of expansion? You know, you're asking the question, can I trust this? Is this you, Lord? And he's saying, yes, come with me. And perhaps you, like the disciples, are full of fear, and maybe your trust has been broken, maybe even multiple times. And something in you, something you like was in Peter, is compelling you forward, even though it's unprecedented. There's no point of reference really for water walking, is there? You can prepare the heart and spirit, but you actually can't prepare everything for everything that's about to happen. There is a trust element to walking on water. You've got to be okay with the possibility that you won't know the outcome. You can't actually control, and particularly in the area of giving, you can't control where that goes, right? You can be knowledgeable that you're giving to a building fund or this is tithes and offerings, but really it's an act of trust to say, God, I give it over to you. I surrender control of my purse and I give it to you. And you've got to be okay, and I feel this with some young people, with separating from the crowd. Because giving and living that way, in that way of surrender, actually is very countercultural. In a culture that wants you to hock your mortgage up to all ridiculous amounts, in a culture that says hang on to it for a rainy day, in a culture that is screaming loud at you about where to put that finance, there is a separating that's going to happen for some of you, a consecration, a line in the sand where you're going, no, I'm going to live counterculturally. And there is this whole thing that you will be walking in a whole new realm of possibility, and that can be really scary. He may actually ask you to give what you've never given before. What used to be used for this may now be given because the Holy Spirit's saying, I want you to give that. That is key to your breakthrough and key to expansion. And I believe he's calling you tonight to come with him, to come with him. And so I'm going to speak to that tonight. The first thought is make a move. Make a move tonight. And I believe you are a proactive church hearing the voice of God and ready to obey to make a move. Now, it's really, and Jesus said, come, Peter. Jesus bid him come, the old version says. Or Jesus said, come, Peter, why don't you come? But really, Peter had to make the move. Jesus gave him the word. Jesus said he could do it. Jesus was out demonstrating, but really, it was up to Peter to make the next move. The power was in Peter's hands, so to speak. It's really interesting. You may have heard of a guy called Hudson Taylor. Is there anyone here who's heard of the missionary Hudson Taylor? He was a missionary to China, and he felt a burning passion to reach the interior of China. All the missionaries, all the people that were reaching this great nation were sticking to the coast, right? And who wouldn't, really? How pretty. But he's like, do you know, there is literally millions of people inside this great nation and the inland not being reached for Jesus Christ. Is there anyone bold and brave enough to go? I'll go, Jesus, send me. But the thing is, in his preparation time, he was quite poor. He was pretty strapped for cash. He was a pretty brainy guy. He was a doctor. But he just could not pull together the cash to go. And he needed to go to London to actually prepare for his life of service. And I was reading in a book that said, finally, increasingly feeling that God was calling him to London, he went forward by faith, even though he didn't have a place to stay, nor funding for living in the city. He obeyed. Moving forward, God opened the way before him in many ways. And had he not gone, the inland of China would not have been reached for Jesus Christ. Isn't that incredible? It is an amazing thought to think that before the Israelites stepped into the Red Sea, it was not parted. Before they stepped into the Jordan, the waters were still flowing. Before David took up a sling and five smooth stones, Goliath was still alive. Before Esther went to the king and told him that a terrorist was on the loose trying to noose her people, her life hung in the balance. Do you know, when it comes to the act of giving and generosity, before it's given, there is a choice that you need to make a move. Can I just say, I've found if you don't tithe, if you're on 5K a year, you'll never ever tithe when you're on 70K. You know what? If you can't be obedient when God says, give that 10 bucks, you will never be obedient when the big one comes around, because you have to make a move. You stand on a precipice in many areas, not just the area of giving, where God may be saying, I need you to make a move. And I am saying, come. Jesus is saying, I'm putting my hand out to share me with your family. That is the scariest thing sometimes. Maybe he's putting his hand and going, come with me, separate from that group of friends, I've got something better for you. Maybe he's saying to you, I need you to increase your giving this year and expand in this area of your life. You are now at a precipice saying, you know what, next move over to you. Today, you may be saying, Jesus, if it's you, tell me to come. And I want to be the voice saying, he's saying, come on in and join me right now. That is the word to this church tonight. So make a move. Second thought, I believe that Jesus called him to move from the natural to the supernatural. So you're called to make a move. But secondly, he's calling you to move from natural thinking to supernatural possibility. From the natural and logical, and I believe in wisdom, I'm deeply committed to principles of wisdom and planning and process. The more you get to know me, the more you'll realize this. But there is a dimension that I know God has called me to walk in that is not just natural thinking and skill and ability, but actually supernatural power. Do you know, walking on water is the most impossible thing that you can possibly talk about. There is nothing so impossible to a human being as to walk on water. Now, I have seen tightrope walkers. Has anyone seen that movie? I even forget the name of it, where he's tightrope walking between buildings and so forth. And I've seen those guys that parkour all over the city, and I've seen bungee jumping and all manner of craziness, right, that I tend to try and avoid. I'm risk adverse when it comes to those types of activities. I've seen the pictures of the man Blondin, Charles Blondin, walking across on a beam, Niagara Falls. And it is impressive, guys, super impressive. But when it comes down to it, it is skill and ability, and it's within the realm of possibility. Water walking is a whole other level of impossibility, right? And there are things that God is going to call you to do that are difficult things, but really they are in the realm of skill. There's a whole lot of other things God will call you to that you will only be able to do if you have a belief in the supernatural power of God, and if you have a belief that you can walk in that. And I believe that giving is one of those things. You know, Peter saw this impossibility overcome by Jesus because he wanted to do what Jesus did. Jesus was out on the water leading him into impossibility. And he believed that Jesus would enable his followers to do what he did. And he promises us, even greater things will you do than I do, because I go to be with the Father. Do you know, we are going to actually reach in our generation more people for Jesus Christ than he did while he walked the earth, simply because of the power of the Holy Ghost and him accomplishing on the cross what he did 2,000 years ago. Peter shared in a life that suspends the action of natural law by one who is supernatural. And we are called to be a supernatural people. And I know that the DNA of this church is a deep belief in the power of a supernatural God. I know that we are the ones who believe in divine appointments, that God brings us before kings, that he gets us talking to the cafe owner and anoints our lips with grace as we win them to the Lord. I know that he sets up divine appointments. I know that you believe that too. We are the ones who believe in miraculous healing. I know you believe it too. I know you pray and believe for it. We are the ones that believe that God is fighting for us, that the fire of God goes before us and burns up our enemies. We are the people that regard others by the spirit, not by the natural, that we see the possibility in every person. We are the ones that walk by the supernatural power of God. And we believe that provision comes from unlikely places. We are those people. We are the supernatural people. We believe in the suddenlies of God, I heard Fred say this morning. And can I just say, in transitioning from the natural to the supernatural, to natural limitations, and saying, you know what, property prices are just too much, or you know what, I'm just a student. You know what, in transitioning from the natural to the supernatural, God rarely explains how. And I hate that. Don't you? I'm like, I really would like you to tell me why and how. But rarely he does for me. Maybe he does for you, but not for me. He rarely tells me how. He just says, trust me. Would you just trust me? Would you come and join me? And can I just say, your greatest strengths and achievements will never, ever equal, will pale into comparison with moving in the supernatural power of God and going on that supernatural journey of a life with him. He will make much of your life as you walk with him in the supernatural power of God. This happened for me when I was 18 years old and on an altar in India, actually. And I know Pastor Rob and Pastor Heather do a lot of work in India, and others do. And I remember this moment being on an altar and a woman asking me to pray for her, and she'd had many, many miscarriages. And this split second moment where God is just saying to me, will you believe me that I can heal through you? Will you stay in your logic and think, see yourself as a grasshopper, or will you break out and cross over from natural thinking to supernatural thinking and see me heal this woman through you? At 28 years old, standing at a petrol bowser, I'd been offered a really cream job at another school in Sydney, and I knew God was calling me into ministry. The offer hadn't come. I was part-time in ministry. The offer hadn't come for the full-time role, but I knew that it was coming. I just sensed in my spirit, and God, as I stood at that petrol bowser, said to me, do you want to be a full-time teacher or full-time in ministry. You make the choice. You know what? I'll bless the educational life for you. And if you're a teacher here, it is an amazing profession making a massive difference. But for me, it was a choice between you can have a great life, it'll be blessed, or you can move over into the supernatural and trust me in this calling that I have upon your life. When God began to stir in my husband and I a desire for larger giving and call us into a faith walk of giving, it kind of didn't make sense. I was on a ministry wage. He was in corporate, but we'd cut it down to part-time to balance our family ministry commitments. And I went on two lots of maternity leave in under 2 years. And so it didn't make sense. And yet God called us to trust him and begin to plan our finances to be bigger givers. Out of that, because we stepped into the supernatural realm, out of the natural realm and into the supernatural, we saw God double the value of the properties that we bought as single people. We saw God give us unexpectedly high tax returns, and we had a substantial unexpected gift that I would have no idea was coming to us. He gave us seed to sow every time we made that commitment to give into miracle missions offering. We have a miracle missions offering at our church and a building fund. Can I encourage you, if God is calling you to move into the supernatural, you take the step and trust him and he'll provide everything that you need. But you have to come into agreement with him and move from natural logic. You don't throw away wisdom. You don't throw away planning and process, but you move from natural logic to supernatural faith. And if I could have the keys up now, that would be amazing. I told you I wanted to get to pray for you. The final thought is that we need to move to a place of enlargement. We need to move to a place of enlargement. Midway through last year, God said the strangest thing to me, just really stirred my spirit. And he said, I need you to start attempting to do hard things again. I need you to actually begin again to start doing difficult things. And I had this prophecy about your boots are going to get real dirty. Awesome. Now, the sense of it was not, I need you to work harder and faster. If you know me, I actually love work. I really enjoy working hard. Before I had the commitment of kids, I was putting in ridiculous hours. I have no problem staying up late and getting home and getting up early to work. But the sense of it was, would you step up to the plate and set your face like flint, because I need someone to face the impossibility of some things in the world so that a lost and dying world will know the name of Jesus Christ. I actually need you to step up to the plate and not look difficulty in the eye as impossibility, but to see through supernatural eyes the possibility here. And you need to actually allow me, Christy, to take you to a place of enlargement. What you're doing now, you're going to be able to do a whole lot more in 12 months, 2 years. I want to enlarge you so that you can look impossibility in the eye and take something on for the kingdom of God and see the light of God come into it. You know, Isaiah says, thick darkness in Isaiah 60, thick darkness covers the people of the earth. But the light of God rises upon you. You are the answer to the impossibilities of the world. Last year, and you may remember it, there was this incredible story that broke in the news, and it wasn't political, thank God. Had a lot of them last year. There was this story that broke, and it captivated my heart because I have two little boys. And it was 12 kids caught in a cave in Thailand, Tham Luang Caves. And their 25-year-old soccer coach who led them in. And it was a 10-kilometer cave complex. 10-kilometer cave complex. Goodness knows why they were in there. But my heart was breaking, thinking, all I can think of is the Thai mothers bleeding for their sons. All I can think of is this 25-year-old coach stuck in this cave thinking, what have I done? I am going to have blood on my hands. And the world was glued to it. And upon attempting the rescue, 4 Thai workers were found. And it's just a mess of epic proportions, you know. And a hopeless, hopeless situation. And as the days went on, it was actually really painful to watch. there was a guy, Richard Harry Harrison, sent from Australia over, and he's now subsequently been awarded the Order of Australia Medal. He was the Australian of the Year for 2019. And he went over, and he only said this post the event. Thank goodness he didn't say it to the TV set before the rescue. But he says after the event, I looked at that cave, and I thought to myself, there is a 0% chance that this is going to be pulled off. This is an absolute impossibility. I was really baffled to hear it because he attempted it. He looked at the cave and looked at it and went, there is a 0% possibility. He was a doctor by trade and also a diver. Incredible set of skills for the situation, but looked at it and said, you know what? This is impossible, absolutely impossible. And looked at that cave and told that cave to give up those young men. You give it up now. I'm coming in. I'm facing the impossibility because I have hope and I'm going to see something supernatural happen. Can I just say, they did rescue. He attempted the hard thing. He was expanded in the process. But can I just say, you are the only eternal, you hold the only eternal rescue that people will ever know. You actually, like Richard Harry Harrison, was one of the very few in the world that had the skill to have the medicine to administer to those boys if they needed it, but also the diving skill to bring them out. You actually, here in Burpengary, on Sunday the 17th of February, you actually hold the only answer to the eternal rescue of humanity that there will ever, ever be in the world. There is no other rescue coming, and there has been no other rescue ever known. And you hold it in your heart. Isn't that incredible? Can I want to challenge you tonight, and I want to pray for some people so if the band could come up. I believe that you are called to years of expansion, but it actually first begins with an expansion of you. And so there is actually a couple of groups of people I want to open the altar to tonight. And the first group is you really sense, you know, I know that God is calling me to expansion, and I'm saying, is it you, Jesus? And he is saying, yes, it is. Would you come and join me? I'm asking you tonight, as an act of faith, as actually putting works to your faith, as actually taking a supernatural step, I'm going to ask you to come down to the altar tonight and actually say, you know what? Here I am, God. I give you my life. I'm prepared and I give myself to the process of expansion. For some, that is a giving and generosity thing. There is something in there. I do believe that God is calling certain ones here to really take a supernatural step in the area of generosity. But really, it could be, I need to take a supernatural step in my marriage and actually have hope again and speak life over my spouse. For some, it's actually, you know what? I actually need to take a step forward and serve in my church. For some, I actually need to let go of the past. I need to, in order to expand, I must actually let go of some things that have marred me and it's caused me not to trust. I need to trust again, and I need to actually lay those things at the altar. Whatever it is, lay it down. The other group of people I want to pray for is actually if you are a business person here, or you're a uni student and you are studying to be a professional of some kind, whether it's in commerce or engineering or medicine or whatever it is, education, or if you run a business, I want to pray for you as well. And we're going to pray that God would just bring about a great expansion. So what we're going to do now is just jump on our feet. And why don't we just begin to worship? I just, worship band, you can just begin to lead some worship. And just as we begin worshiping the Lord, if you are someone who is a professional or a business person or studying to be, I'm actually going to get you to come to this side of the altar. If you really feel God's call tonight to supernatural expansion and he's saying to you, come to me, and you're saying, yes, Lord, okay, I'll take that step. If that's you, over this side, and I know that a whole lot of KCC leaders are going to go animal and pray for you. So thanks. Beautiful. Thank you, worship band. Thank you. Why don't we begin to lift our hands? We don't need to wait for them. Thank you, Jesus. Why don't we stir up our spirit? Thank you, Lord.
You've got just what I